begins like this. David prays, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." And then we go down to verse 13. "For you, Lord, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." And we turn to the New Testament, to Philippians 4. We heard Philippians 2 a moment ago. Paul writes this there, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, what a marvelous time God did give us up at Gainey Ranch. And as you heard, we had a marvelous theme to hold it all together, taking care, taking care. It's everywhere in Scripture that God takes care of us, and he makes us in his image to take good care of his creation. And yet we can't even take good care of ourselves if we don't remember his care. And to underline that a bit, I want to share with you a story now. It's by Max Lucado. Maybe you have heard this one before. It's called "You Are Special." And yes, it's the one about the Wemmix. The Wemmix. Not sure if you've heard of them. Well, the Wemmix are little wooden people who, much like us, tend to get their cares all wrapped up in things that shouldn't matter all so much. So they must learn to take care even when they're taking much hurt. So let's roll the first clip from this story.
The Wemmix were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill overlooking their village. Each Wemmix was different. Some had big noses, others had larger eyes, and some were tall and others were short. Some wore hats, others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the village. All day, every day, the Wemmix did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmix had a box of golden star stickers and a box of grey dot stickers. Up and down the street, all over the city, people spent their day sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmix gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmix had stars all over them. Every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around him and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then, when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many grey dots that people would come up to him and give him dots for no reason at all.
"He deserves lots of dots," the people would agree with one another. "He's not a good person."
After a while, Punchinello believed them.
"I'm not a good Wemmick," he would say.
The few times he went outside, he hung around with other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. He felt better around them.
All right, so Punchinello has a problem. What's his problem? Well, he's covered in dots. Those dots represent what all the other Wemmicks think of him, and apparently that isn't much. He's not so pretty as some, not so talented as others. He's the last one picked for a team or club. He's just an easy Wemmick to laugh at, or to tease, or to punch. You know, I imagine Punchinello tried really hard not to let all that bother him. "Today I'll do better," he'd tell himself. "Whatever's true, good, admirable. If I just think positive thoughts, maybe I can earn myself some stars." But it was no use. Sooner than later, some other Wemmick would come along, and you heard it, for no reason at all, plant another dot on his face. Everyone was playing this game. It's how the world was run. And Gems and Cadets, you know as well as I do that our world isn't always so much nicer. A lot of people today are consumed with status. They're consumed with their dots, their stars. What other people think about us can quickly dominate our thoughts and make us anxious about ourselves, even others. And it can become all that we really think about. Technology has given us some wonderful things, but one of the not-so-wonderful ones is that we now have more ways than ever to give each other dots and stars like this. More ways to measure our worth, to judge others and their value. How many followers have you got on TikTok? How many hearts did you get on your latest Instagram selfie? How many people liked that YouTube video you made or your clever comment on somebody else's? Have you ever noticed how almost all the games that you play on your phone or your laptop now make you log in personally so that you can track your progress also against your friends' scores and not just your own high scores? Pretty quickly, a game becomes more than a game then when we look at it as a way to show off our skills or climb a social ladder with our friends or our peers. And that's a fact that most companies know and they exploit. And the same thing can happen with our clothes or with our possessions, even our education and careers, adults. It's not about keeping up with the Joneses, but keeping ahead of them here in our world. This dots and stars game is very real in our world today, as it was in that world for Punchinello. And the Apostle Paul had seen it in his world too. And so Paul urges the Romans, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Paul urges the Corinthians, "Demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Paul urges the Colossians, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For when Christ appears, then you'll appear with him in glory." Paul urges the Philippians, "Stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Rejoice in the Lord and in his thoughts, and not in what other people say or think about you." See, as a Pharisee, Paul had played that game of dots and stars, of merits and demerits, for ages in his life. But then he'd met someone who showed him what rubbish it really was, that God takes care of our worth. And that's what happens to Punchinello, too. Let's listen again to the next part of this story, where he meets a rather strange and a rather different kind of girl. Because for some reason, those stickers just won't keep sticking to her.
"At a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden, and her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up to her and give her a star. But it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot. But it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it.
It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day I go and see Eli.
Eli?
Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him.
Why?
Why don't you find out yourself? Go up the hill. He's there.
And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away.
But will he want to see me?
Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots.
It's not right,
he muttered to himself. And he decided to go and see Eli.
Second clip, Punchinello meets Lucia, and she is different, isn't she? She's operating on a whole different plane somehow. Those dots and stars don't stick to her like they stick to Punchinello and to all the other Wemmicks there. Somehow she's just free to be herself. And Lucia shares the gospel with Punchinello. We have a maker, she says, a woodcarver who's named Eli up in the workshop. And when I visit him, all the stickers just fall off. Her sense of self-worth isn't determined by what others think of her or even by the good or bad thoughts she has about herself each day, but by this Eli, whose name, by the way, means my God. So let me just ask you a question. When it comes to your self-image, what percentage of your thoughts would you say on an average day are thoughts that you have about yourself? 50% maybe? What percentage of your self-image thoughts are thoughts that you have about what other people think of you? Almost as much, right? Maybe 49%. We care what others think. We just can't help it. But what percentage of your thoughts are made up of thoughts about what God thinks about you? How often do you take time out to consider your maker's thoughts? I'd be lucky if I could say 1% of my thoughts are focused on his, on the opinion that he has about me each day. But see, that's just it. That's really the real problem. God has made us social beings, social creatures, so inevitably we learn about ourselves from others. It's called referencing, and there's nothing wrong in that in itself. We can't observe ourselves most of the time, but we can observe the effect that we have on other people and their reactions to us. And it's only natural to look to them to learn some things then about ourselves. But sometimes our problem is we have too narrow a frame of reference. We see things through too narrow a scope. We make our problems way bigger than they really are. For instance, if I mess up in a really embarrassing way, I can spend days or weeks even playing back that moment to myself and brooding on it, beating myself up. While other people have long since moved on. Here I am, still hanging on to that dot, letting it define me like it's the only thing about me that counts. What dots do you have like that? I can remember one I got all the way back in kindergarten. But worst of all, sometimes we can let our thoughts then turn from, oh no, I made a mistake, to, oh no, I am a mistake. Don't just have dots. I am a dot. And it's when we start thinking like that that we need to resolve what Punchinello here resolved. We need to go back to the workshop. Not just on Sundays, but every day of our lives, we need to stop and consider what Eli thinks, our maker thinks of us. Put things back in perspective in our lives. So let's see how that works out for Punchinello here. Let's watch the last clip of how Eli takes care of him.
And he decided to go and see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard.
I'm not staying here.
And he turned to leave. And then he heard his name.
Punchinello?
The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped.
Punchinello? How good to see you. Come, and let me have a look at you.
Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman.
You know my name?
The little Wemmick asked.
Of course I do. I made you.
Eli stooped down and picked him up and sat him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the grey dots.
Looks like you have been given some bad marks.
I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard.
Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think.
You don't?
No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks, just like you. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think. And I think you are pretty special.
Punchinello laughed.
Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. What do I matter to you?
Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly.
Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me.
Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say.
Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained.
I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello.
I know. She told me about you.
Why don't the stickers stay on her?
The maker spoke softly.
Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them.
What?
The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers.
I'm not sure I understand.
Eli smiled.
You will. But it will take time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come to see me every day, and let me remind you how much I care.
Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground.
Remember,
Eli said as the Wemmick walked out of the door,
you are special because I made you, and I don't make mistakes.
Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground.
So Punchinello meets Eli and he finds his new frame of reference, or frame of reverence, I should say, God's thoughts, not others' thoughts. He finds that place to find his self-worth isn't in stickers or stars or in thoughts and judgments of all the other Wemmicks, but it's the one who made him and who is pleased and proud. If we want to know ourselves, John Calvin once taught, we have to know God. Because in the first place, we were made in the image of God. Real self-knowledge comes from knowing God. Real food for thought can only be found in Eli's house. That's where we find our most worthwhile thoughts. So see, the key is to reverence in our lives, and not just to reference, to reverence, and not just reference. Of course, we'll care what others think, but we need to care even more about what God thinks, because only He has the whole picture on who we are, and only what He thinks will matter ultimately. And before we say that's impossible, how could we ever read God's thoughts? Well, realize what we have here in this, in His Word. He tells us all kinds of things in it that our Heavenly Father thinks about us there too. I formed you and I made you fearfully and wonderfully. I formed you and I made you very good. And though you've fallen into lies, I'm making you new again. I'm not giving up on you. In Psalm 139, David says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them." And the word precious there literally means to be heavy, to be weighty or solid. And that's the key, to put more weight on what God thinks about you than what others think about you, or even those things that you come to think about yourself. "Your works are wonderful," David goes on. "Yes, I know that full well." But see, he's not just talking about God's work in creation out there. He's talking about God's work in himself. So can you believe that? That you're wonderful, every bit as marvelous as a mountain, as resplendent as a river, as lovely as a lily to God, to the Lord God who cares for us. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, Paul writes, think about such things. Mind what matters, God's thoughts, God's care for each one, and he'll show you the goodness in you too. And the peace of God, the peace of God will keep you. Why don't the stickers stay on her? Punchinello asks Eli here. Because she has decided what I think is more important, more weighty than what they think, Eli replies. The stickers only stick if you let them, if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you'll care about those. Friends, what would it be like if we went through our schools, our work, our homes this year, not so stuck on dots or stars, but free like Lucia here, at peace and secure? Let's not forget the value of the workshop, of that time with Eli, to keep us tuned like that each day. And then maybe then we'll take good care of his world. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today, and we admit it, we all have dots and stars that we carry, anxious thoughts and others' judgments we let define us more than yours. Forgive us our foolish games and help us to mind what matters most, that you have made each of us one of a kind, forever redeemed us in love. Help us to take good care in your good care for us. In Jesus' name we ask this. God's people say together. Amen.